Amen, amen. Good morning, everyone. How's everyone doing this morning? That's good. Man, it's been a full morning already. I'm ready to go home. My goodness, it was good. You know, so this morning, got up at 6 o'clock, looked at the window to see if I had to go plowing. And you should have had the sense of excitement when I woke up and looked out the window and there was no snow. I was like, praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Because don't get me wrong, I don't mind plowing snow. I mean, we get some shunya when it snows, right? Make some money when it snows. But today is just a day not for snow. Today is a day for church, and we got meetings, and we got stuff, and we got things to do, right? Amen? So I'm thankful for people that pray. Amen? So can we pray a little harder? You know, this summer we need some nice weather. So can you guys really dig in there? Got it? Got it covered? Amen. Amen. Well, so good to see everyone here this morning. Those of you who do not know me, my name is Pastor Steve. I'm one of the associates here at the church. Been here since 2009. Wow, 16 years. That's crazy. Well, I mean, it was a good run. We'll see you guys next time. No. And, I mean, it's been good. There's lots of changes, lots of excitement, things happening. I mean, this church has evolved and changed a lot over the last few years. When we first got here, we were on Secord Street, and now we're up here on 360 Black Bay Road. And this building keeps changing and expanding and all types of stuff happening up around here. And God is good. Amen. And just in a few short weeks, we're going to be having a celebration of celebrations. For this building and, you know, it being paid off and all those things. And we got contractors working around the clock. I mean, we got them working shift work here. I mean, we got bunk beds set up. No, I'm joking. But the last few weeks, you might have noticed there might have been some funky smells around here. That's not your neighbor. That's the products that they've been using. But we're so thankful for Delore and his crew. He's one of our church guys here, and give Delore a big round of applause for doing all the hard work. We appreciate him so much. And I endorse his company. I can tell you, we don't put that stamp on everyone, but there's a few guys around here that work, and they work hard, and their work is good. And so, you know, he's blessing the church in so many ways. And I believe that as congregation members and family members, you need some work done. You need to talk to him and bless his company. Amen. And his guys. And so I put that in there for you, brother. You owe me $10 now. All right. I'll put that on your Facebook. I'll put that on your Yelp. And speaking of contractors, I got a funny story I want to share with you this morning before we get into the word. I think you'll appreciate this. And it was funny because this is actually, it made me think of this week, Delore and then they were working there painting and epoxying, and Delore came down over the stairs and his hands were covered in gray epoxy. And he's like, oh man, I need to wash my hands. And he's trying to find some paint thinner. So, and then it sparked to my memory this story, and I want to share it with you. So we're not going to use Delore's name. We're going to use Jack. Right? By no shape or form is this our contractors, but this is a funny little story. This is Jack the painter often would thin his paint so it would go further. So when the church decided to do some deferred maintenance, Jack was able to put in a low bid and get the job. As always, he thinned the paint way down and the paint got thinner. One day, while he was on the scaffolding with the job almost finished, he heard a horrendous clap of thunder, and the sky opened up. The downpour washed the thin paint right off the church building and knocked Jack right off the scaffolding. So here is Jack lying among the puddles of thin paint, worthless paint, garbage paint, all over the ground. Now, Jack, he knew that this was a warning from the Almighty. So he got down on his knees and cried, oh God, forgive me, what should I do? And from the thunder, a mighty voice said, repaint, repaint and thin no more. Isn't that a good one? Repaint and thin no more. All right? I'm thankful that the Lord don't thin out too much. I guarantee it. Amen? There you go. See, you're allowed to have fun in church. That was a good one. Yeah. All right, let's go home then. Now we're done. No. Well, let's get into the Word a little bit. Today we're going to talk a little bit about spiritual growth. And I think we've already had about 3 or 4 lessons on spiritual growth this morning. If you were listening to the tones and the different things, I mean, when you come to church, there's things we got to do. We got to get involved. That's all part of spiritual growth. Church is more than just a spectator sport. You got to come and get in the game, right? I mean, we have a very big part to play. As much as, you know, we need Jesus and we need God in our life, he needs us also. And so it comes together. We work together, right? You know, it talks about, Brother Hagin used to say, you take the supernatural and the natural comes together and make an explosive force. And that's what it takes, is that we have to come together with God. And when we come to church, we need to make sure that we're ready and we're fired up. Come on now. You know? You make sure you got a heartbeat, a pulse. Because church, man, we get to go and hang out with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We get to hang out with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Man, we get to worship him, hang out with him, listen to him. Because he's given us some information that we probably need to hear. Amen? Church is exciting! Yay! Come on! I mean, Pastor Roma said, you know, you got poor Vanessa up here, man, and she's there ripping it and singing it, and my goodness, people pay lots of money to get that, to get entertained, right? How many of you have gone to a concert, to a show, and they're up there dancing around and screaming and shouting and doing all those things, and you're like, oh yeah, take my money, I want to go see this, right? You come to church, man, we get it for free. No. But I mean, it just shows that these guys, they're fired up, they're excited because they know who their God is. You know? And so it's so good. It's so good. Now, the last little while, I don't know if you've noticed, you probably have, there's been a lot of crazy going on in this world, huh? I mean, governments up against each other, and I mean, everyone's new favorite word is tariffs. I mean, I haven't heard the word tariff used so much before. I mean, it's almost wore out already, you know? And you see the different things that's happening, you know, government, there's lots of changes here in the Canadian government, there's lots of changes happening. You know, you see lots of things being revealed, things being swapped around. As believers, we have a big job to do, to be praying, but it's so easy to get upset about things, you know? We even see some horrible hockey trades being made in the NHL. I mean, it is just heartbreaking right now. I mean, the world is I'm more concerned about the bad hockey trades and tariffs. I'm not going to lie, right? Not going to lie. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I know the Lord's in control or looking after us. Like I put my trust in him. But, you know, he needs to really crank it up with the hockey stuff a little bit around here. Right? That's Boston Bruins fans. You all know what I'm saying, hey, Aunt Max. I mean, we're praying and interceding, but the Lord's laughing at us. But it just seems like there's a lot of different struggles going on. I've had a conversation with quite a few different people, and, you know, a lot of people have canceled their trips or their things, and or they're you know, kind of, you know, being concerned about their investments and things like that. And I hear them. I understand where they're coming from. But you see, deep down inside of me, I know the difference because I know that God is for me. And so therefore, ladies and gentlemen, we got to make sure that we are connected up with God. It's super important for us to trust in him. You see, once a believer gets a hold of who God is in his life, you'll understand something about yourself. You're not normal. Because you're actually designed to be extraordinary. God designed you with a plan and a purpose that will, if you knew the whole thing, you wouldn't be able to take it. You'd just collapse under, oh my gosh, you know? You were designed to do some amazing things, you know? And like Pastor was, you know, talking about the different things that some of the guys do around here. Like you work around here, you're going to do all types of different stuff. You could be preaching one day, you'd be painting the next, scrubbing toilets the next. You could be doing whatever, you know? It's all those things. But you don't know what talents and abilities you have until you start doing something. Because you might say, well, I can't do that. I've learned to say, I'll try it. Because if you say, no, I can't do it, you'll never know. How do you know you can't do it if you've never done it before? You know? Now, there's some things I ain't going to try because I'm not a surgeon. Right? I mean, trust me, I'm not one of those guys, you know. And there's certain things that you don't want to touch. There's a few things I know that I'm not that great at, but there's other things I know that I can do. But you see, the thing is that when you're trusting in the Lord, he's going to take you to higher places, and you'll do things, and you'll get involved in different things. I had no idea I'd be so involved in the community the way I am in the last couple of years. It's just exploded, you know. For 14 years, I was this youth pastor here at this church. And then, I mean, we had good groups and all those things. But then my role changed, became more the associate role, looking after all types of other things, different portfolio. But then in the community, I became responsible for over 200 kids and growing, you know, and working with all these kids on a weekly basis, you know. But then you got parents and aunties and families and stuff, and it's huge. And so the impact that you got. So I left youth ministry to go back into youth ministry. Right? And I didn't even leave youth ministry. But God just, you know, all those years of preparation here got me ready for out there. You see, preparation time is not wasted time. And so we have to make sure that we're getting ourselves ready. God's got purposes for you. And now more than ever, God needs you working and doing and fulfilling his plan. Pastor said, don't come in and sit on your duff. I'm using my language, but I'm paraphrasing. But you just don't come and sit down. You got to do something. We got to be active, guys. Listen, Jesus is coming back. There's people out there that need to know who Jesus is. Are you listening to me? I'm not even into my notes yet. Oh. We're going to be in for a time today. But you were created extraordinary. You have gifts and abilities that you don't even know. And you got gifts and abilities that you've been hiding. Come on now. I know for a fact in this place there's people, there's musicians, there's singers, there's camera people, there's people that are graphic design, there's people that are very crafty, people are good with kids, but, you know, no, I'm just going to sit down in the back and hide. Or I'm not going to do that. Listen, you want to be blessed in your life? You start blessing others. You start using what God's given you. Amen? Time to go to work. Time to do something. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to turn over in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Let's look at that real quick this morning. And it said, then God said, let us make human beings in our image and like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, and all the wild animals on the earth. And the small animals that scurry along the ground. My goodness. But I like this first part of this. Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. Now, right back in the very beginning, when God was creating the heavens and the earth, it said, let us make human beings in our image. God was talking to Jesus, to Christ, and to the Holy Spirit. They were all there together. They're all part, they're connected. And they're having a conversation. Now, who in here is a human being? Any humans in here? Are we sure? Because there's not a lot of hands going up. Because now I am concerned. Some of y'all don't look like angels, so there's got to be, might be a demon. No, not a demon. No, no demons. How many humans are in this place? There we go. That's good. You know you're made in the image and in the likeness of God? My goodness. I mean, someone might look at you and be like, boy, look at that nose. Yeah, well, that's God's nose. Right? Come on now. Come on now. Oh, boy. Boy, look at those eyebrows of yours. Yeah, what about them? They're from God. Right? Are you listening to me? But listen, you were made in the likeness of God. Make human beings in our image. Let me tell you, all the characteristics of God, God is full of love, peace, mercy, grace, all those things. And that's all part of us, right? Those things, we have that inside of us. You might not always feel like the most lovable person on the face of the earth. You might not always feel like extending grace and mercy to somebody when they cut you off in line. Or when you're driving down the highway like a crazy animal and they cut you off.
Yeah.
You know? Well, someone feels that. Right? I mean, it's just one of those things. You just might not always feel like loving everybody. But you know what? I'm glad we don't go by feelings, because we go by the facts on who we are. You see, our identification, once we become born again and we get a realization of this, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. You're a child of God. So that means whatever God has that he gave to Christ belongs to you also, because you're all connected up. Amen. So that should tell you something, that you're not a normal person. Yay! I'm not normal. Yes! You're an extraordinary person. Right? Here we go. Let's keep going here. Now, how many of you like superheroes? Absolutely. I like Marvel. I do. And I like DC. And I, you know, like all those guys. I like super. And but I don't like now they've got so many offshoots and off things. I mean, sometimes you just leave things alone. You know what I'm saying? Like the Fast and the Furious franchise. What are we up to, like 87 now? Or something. I mean, they're soon going to be in wheelchairs racing around seniors' homes. Like, I mean, there's no more Tokyo Drift. It's soon going to be Hogarth Manor race down or something. I mean, it's just, we need to settle down a little bit. But when it comes to superheroes, I like my all-time favorite superhero. It's probably Superman. And I like Origin. So this is my little Superman. This was Benny. Whereas he's going to shoot me for doing this. This was taken in 2013. So Ben just turned 15 this past week. And I believe he's about 3 here, right, Kendra? Yeah, he's 3 years old. And he was known as Soupy Guy. That's what he would call himself. But, you know, here's Superman. And he even got the little hair curl right in the front. You see that? I mean, the dude is... And look at those muscles, man. I'm telling you, he used to be so cute, and then he got big. Oh, my Lord. He's not even in there to defend himself, the poor guy. But now Superman, when you look at him, he's got some pretty cool abilities, right? And if you follow the story of Superman a little bit, I know it's fiction, but just hear me out here for a second, okay? Because you're going to get excited now in a second. Superman was born on a planet, Krypton. Now, on that planet, everybody was like him. And because of the planet that he was on, everybody had the same abilities, and they didn't realize it. They knew what they, you know, they could do different things. They were stronger and faster and all those things. But, I mean, everyone was alike. But then through some chaotic things that took place in the life and the government and all those things, and the story, not too much unlike what's happening now, the planet was destroyed. But his parents put him in this capsule and sent him to Earth. And then when he came here, his powers were magnified. And so he was kind of unusual. He could jump high, he got laser vision, super strength, can fly, can do all those things, right? And people around him were thinking like, man, this Superman, he's something special, he's something different. But let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. We're from, our address is not Earth, it's from heaven. You know? We're not a bunch of Kryptons. We're a bunch of heavenites. It's who we are. Now let me tell you something. I know our little Superman here is a fictional character, but we serve a non-fictional God. And God created us in his likeness and in his image. So, in saying that, Superman is pretty super, but you're even more super because you got God on the inside. Are you listening? Because of all these cool things, we're going to look at some 5 things here that makes us extraordinary. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 10, verse 19. So like Superman can jump over high buildings and all those things, we have amazing things that we can do also. Luke chapter 10, 19. It says, I have given authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Listen, you're going to face some crap in your life. You're going to face some horrible things in your life that's absolutely no good. And you've probably faced something this week, right? There's going to be some situations. But let me tell you, but when you belong to God, you don't have to be getting stressed over that. Because look at what the scripture verse says. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. Those are those ugly things in life. And over the power of the enemy. Listen, he's out there. The Bible reminds us over and over again that he's trying to destroy you. But look, I give you authority over the power of the enemy. If you belong to God, you have power over the enemy. You need to speak to those situations in your life and tell the devil, have a conversation with him, like, hey, buddy, you're dumb. You don't be messing with me. You can try, and he's going to try. But you don't have to give in to his attacks. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. I mean, listen, he's going to come at you. He's going to try and do some stuff. He's going to try and get you off your A game. Try and cause some discord in your life. Try and cause some friction in families or at work or in school or whatever it might be. But let me tell you something. We don't have to give in to it. The decision is ours. Why? Because we have the authority given by God himself to us. Why? Because we belong to him. Because we're extraordinary. Drives the devil crazy when we have the power to overcome. But see, here's the thing. This is what the devil tries to do. Because he's a sneaky guy and he doesn't play fair. He tries to keep you in a place of not knowing. Because if you know who you are in Christ, what your position is, what your job is, what belongs to you, he knows he's going to get his butt kicked 10 times out of 10. But if he can cause confusion in you and get you so off your A game and so mixed up in your thinking and, you know, put things in your way to stumbling blocks and make you unaware or help you try to become unaware of what belongs to you, he's going to defeat you. The way to overcome this devil is to know who your father is. And knowing who your father is, you learn on who you are and what your abilities are and what legally belongs to you as a believer. There's too many Christians walking around defeated today when Christ already won the war. We need to get away from being in, oh man, I don't know if I'm going to make it today. I don't know. I'm so sick and tired. I'm just miserable. I got no money. I don't know what I'm going to do. I got this issue. I got that problem. You know, you got more problems than the day is long. Come on now. Well, how about we start looking at, you know what, but you know, yeah, I got some stuff going on, but I know God's going to see me through. Because I know Jesus already took care of it on the cross 2,000 years ago. So much easier to get over in the negative side of things. Oh, woe is me. You actually got to force yourself. Like Pastor said earlier, you got to put it on. You don't always feel like worshiping. You don't always feel like showing up to church and being chipper because life happens. You might have just had a big argument with your spouse in the car driving down the highway. Oh, it got quiet in here. Y'all had some fighting this morning. A little bit of scrapping going on up in here. I see how it is. Huh? Wives, Ed, don't you dare smile. I'm glad I'm up here and Kendra's all the way back there. My ribs will be bruised. All right. Wow. She will get me later for it. Don't you worry. You see, we have this authority because the devil's already been defeated. The Bible tells us that when Christ died and ascended to hell, he was down there for a little bit, but he ripped that place up. And the Bible says he snatched the keys of death and hell right from Satan. And he smacked them around a little bit too, I guarantee it. See, Jesus already overcame the devil. And this is what makes you so extraordinary, because how many of you got Jesus on the inside? That right there, that's like your superpower. You got Jesus. There you go. Second one. Let's talk about this. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. We know this one. 22:24. Now, Superman can jump over mountains. But, I mean, that seems like a lot of energy when we can just speak to him as believers. Mark 11, 22, 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, have faith in God. That's pretty basic. Let's keep going. Verse 23. We're frozen. Speak to the computer. All right, I'll just read it from here then. Technology is so wonderful. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe, you'll receive it, and it will be yours. You know, Superman, he jumps over mountains. We get him right out of the way. I don't know if you're listening to me. That mountain in your life, you can make it go away. There's a lot of mountains that we might be facing. And there's some mountains that actually are only molehills and we've turned into mountains. But they still have to go. You know, you might be facing, we prayed for a brother today that's suffering with cancer. But praise God, we're believing for a praise report, a good report. Amen? Amen. Healed in Jesus' name. You know, we hear stories of people breaking bones or got different illnesses and stuff. But listen, as believers, we stand on the word of God. And we speak to those situations. And there's different types of mountains. You might have a financial mountain. You might have a business mountain. You might have a relationship mountain. But the Bible says speak to that mountain. Come on. Now, let's just look at this a little bit more. Let's just back this up just a little bit. Let's go back to Mark 11. Let's go to verse 12. We'll go 12, 14, and we'll go there. Is it working now, Kels? There it is. Now, before Jesus had this conversation about that, this is what took place. The next morning, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. How many of you have been hungry before? That's right. See, even Jesus got hungry. He noticed a fig tree in full leaf a little way off. So he went over to see if he could find any figs. But there were only leaves because it was too early in the season for fruit. Then Jesus said to the tree, may no one ever eat your fruit again. Jesus was hangry. I mean, the man was hungry. He wanted a fig. And there was no figs to be had. So he was hangry. Anyone ever get hangry? Absolutely. I got kids. And that little Aaliyah, when she gets hangry, oh Lord. Hell has no wrath, I guarantee it. And then Jesus said to the tree, may no one ever eat your fruit again. And the disciples heard him say it. Now when they arrived back, okay, so now let's bump up, I think it's 20 the next one, eh, Kels? Now, so they went to Jerusalem, done what they had to do, then this. The next morning as they passed by the fig tree, he had cursed. So this is the day after. So the morning of, or this morning, he cursed the tree. They go to town, they do their business. Now this is the next morning on the way back. The next morning as they passed by the fig tree, he had cursed. The disciples noticed it had withered up from the roots up. Peter remembered what Jesus said to the tree on the previous day and exclaimed, look, Rabbi, the fig tree you cursed has withered and died. Let's keep going. Then Jesus said to his disciples, what did he say? You see, that situation right there is not that God, that Jesus was against fig trees, but he used it as a teaching lesson that, listen, when you speak to something that's not right, when you trust in God, it has to change. Something has to change. Have faith in God. So those situations that we're facing right now, we just don't go around it or go under it or try to go over it. We make it go. We can't have those situations because you know what? It's not gone if we're just putting a band-aid on it or just trying to cover it up. It's going to come back, or it's going to fester, or it's going to get bigger, or it's going to get worse. But when we speak to those mountains and be cast into the sea, it has to go. Are you listening? So that's another superpower that we have as believers, as extraordinary people. You're not ordinary. See, I'm extraordinary. All right, let's keep going here. Now, in Mark chapter 16, verse 18. Let's look at that passage. And it says, and they will be able to handle snakes with safety. I ain't touching no snakes. I don't like snakes. And if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick and they will be healed. Let me tell you something. You're going to be able to deal with some situations, man. We're able to deal with these situations. But they will be able to place their hands on the sick and they will be healed. Let me tell you something. You can believe for people's healing. And guess what? People are going to get healed. We've seen many, many, many people get healed. We've prayed for people. We've seen it take place. How many of you prayed for somebody and their body's been healed? That's right. How many of you have been healed? You've had infirmity in your body and you've been healed. Right? Don't tell me God is not real. Don't tell me this isn't right. It's right there in the Bible. Come on now. And they will be able to place their hands on the sick and they will be healed. I believe that right now. Now here's something else too, is that you can believe for yourself also. We don't always have to go around and call 1-800 every prayer line. Right? I'm not against that at all. We have a call center here that does a lot of good work. But there comes to a point in time in our life when we need to be able to believe and stand for ourselves and those around us also. Come on, it's our responsibility. It's a part of growing up spiritually, ladies and gentlemen. So come on, if we want to be that extraordinary person that God designed us to be, come on, we need to be walking in these things. We need to be expecting miracles to take place when we pray. You know, and we need to be able to activate our faith and believe that God is flowing through us. Come on. There's people out there that are dying. There's people out there that are sick. There are people dealing with things. And let me tell you something. They're waiting for you. Oh, now it's real quiet. We need to be obedient to the call of God on our lives. You don't know on who you're affecting or what you're supposed to do. You might go through a whole bunch of stuff just to affect one person and be a positive influence in that. And it's funny, I just had this conversation with my wife and I'm like, the last little while, it's like you're trying to figure out why all these things are happening the way they're happening. And then all of a sudden, a person comes into your life that you're able to speak into or be able to connect with and whatever. And all of a sudden, you just stand back and be like, oh, that makes sense now. Because when you're in the middle of it, you really don't understand why, Lord, are we doing this? But then when you're on the other side of it and you're like, oh, okay. You see, ladies and gentlemen, as extraordinary believers that we are, we need to make sure that we are following God's call and his direction in our lives. We have to be in tune with him, paying attention. In the Old Testament, we see the story there about in the temple. And was it Eli? What's the little guy's name? Samuel, that's it. And God was singing it to Samuel, but Samuel thought it was Eli. When really this was God trying to get to Sam, trying to get a message across so he could get it to Eli. God is speaking to us. God is directing us. God is showing us. But a lot of times we're acting like a little kid with our fingers in our ears and going, no, I'm not listening. Because this might bring us out of our comfort zone a little bit to go minister to someone or talk to someone or be friendly. I'm looking forward to that message that Miss Anita's planning. Here's going to be a 10-part miniseries. On how to be friendly. And it's all based on Pastor. No. His antics. No. The first 9 parts are going to be about me and Pastor Ken in the office. No. But you see, all these things, guys, we have to activate. We have to use this. I believe that when we lay hands on the sick or we believe for healing for somebody, they're going to recover. Now, it might not be instantaneous, but I believe that God's power is flowing. And we see different things that took place. Even, you know, when Jesus spoke to that fig tree, did it dry up right away? He spoke to it, and then they went away. And you know what? Did Jesus point out that fig tree on the way back, or was it someone else? Jesus spoke the word, and he was confident in what he said. He didn't give it another thought. Too many times, we speak the word, and then we doubt. Right? Our confidence has to be in the Lord. Whatever the situation might be. All right, we'll keep going. Almost done here. No, we're not. I'm lying. Another thing that we have. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. It says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. God has given us everything that we need to be successful and to be triumphant, to be overcomers, to be victorious, to be extraordinary. God has given us everything. It belongs to me and you, ladies and gentlemen. What a victorious bunch in here this morning. My goodness. Yay, I win. Is it time to go for lunch yet? I said, God has given everything that you need to be victorious, to be a champion, to be an overcomer, to be successful, to have more than enough, to be victorious, to be extraordinary in your life. You have it. It belongs to you. Come on now. Man, that's something to get excited about right there. God's blessed you. The Bible says, but every spiritual blessing belongs to you. And it also says that all God's promises are yes and amen. So therefore, if God declares you blessed, then you're
blessed.
If God declares you healed, you're
healed.
If he says you're good looking, you're
good looking.
Well, you believe anything. Amen. That's right. That's right. Absolutely. That's who you are. Man, that's exciting this morning. Man. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. Come on now. Man, we need to be walking around like we're 10 feet tall. Because we got God on the inside of us, right?
Amen.
Come on. If God is for you, who can be against you, right? Woo! This is good. Well, and that brings us up to this last one that we need to look at real quick in Romans chapter 8, verse 30. You know what makes you the most extraordinary being ever? Is the fact that you got God on your side. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them a right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. God, let's go back, go back, go back. And having chosen them, God chose you. You're not a mistake. You're not a whoops. You're not, you know. God chose you. Say, God chose me.
God chose me.
And say, he called me.
He called me.
And because he called you, he made you right with him. Amen. Say, I am right with God.
I am right with God.
I am where I need to be.
I am where I need to be.
That's good. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. Say, I have the glory.
I have right standing.
God's with me.
Hallelujah.
Give him a shout of praise this morning. So how many chosen people we got in here? Oh, good. We got 10. All right. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. God's called you for such a time as this. God's called you to come and do something. God's called you to not live an ordinary, natural life, but live an extraordinary, spirit-filled, God-fearing, God-blessed, God-doing life. That's what you're called to do. Come on, you're not just some, oh, look at this guy. He's not able to do it. No, you're a king's kid. You belong to God, Christ. Come on, stand to your feet this morning. Come on, let's get excited in here a little bit. Because look, God loves you. God has a plan, got a purpose, and God wants you to be the best that you can be. Everyone, I remember growing up, and you'd always think, it's like, oh my goodness. You know, everything will get better when you get to heaven. Right? Oh, this prosperity and this blessing and, you know, oh, everything's going to be so good when you get to heaven. I mean, we're just here on earth right now. We just got to struggle our way through. You know, one more trial, one more tear, you know. It's like, Lord, help me. Seriously. No, let me tell you something. For believers that live that extraordinary life that God designed for them, you're blessed right now. It belongs to you right now. You're healed right now. You're delivered right now. You're set free right now. All the blessings belong to you right now. Not when you cross over to glory land where things are going to be great, but you can have heaven on earth right now because we got God living inside of us because we've accepted him. We are king's kids. We have the DNA of Christ flowing through our veins because that's who we are. Still not convinced yet? Do I have to keep going? Oh, that's dangerous. That's dangerous. Our Bible school class, man, we have Bible school class, and then we stop talking, and then we sit around and talk some more, and then we turn off the lights in the classroom, we walk down the hallway, and we're still talking. We get to the office, we sit down, and we talk some more, and then we get to the parking lot around the vehicles and keep talking about the things of God. Come on now. Am I right? I mean, that's what happens sometimes. You see, when you get fired up and you get to talking about the things of God, man, you can't help but get excited. Because my God is so good. I might not always be so good, but God never changes. And you know, I might have some situations that I'm going through, but I can fully rely on God. I can fully trust in Him. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight or today, make that decision to grow up spiritually. Allow God to flow through you a little bit. Don't be a spectator in the kingdom. Be a game player. Be a game changer. Get involved.